Hello and welcome to the India Dunn and Company podcast. In this conversation, I am speaking with Diana Osborne, a holistic hair expert out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I hope you'll bear with us. We had a few glitches here and there, but it's an incredible conversation and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I know you will too. Hello and welcome to the India Dunn and Company podcast. I am excited to bring to you today Diana Osborne. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Thank you so much. I'm doing really well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good too, and I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you for giving us your time and energy.
Absolutely, anytime. Yeah. Oops, I just lost you.
Okay. One more time.
Off to a great start.
Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would love it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a holistic hair expert in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And that means that I just help people achieve beautiful hair using healthier ingredients. And I provide some education on lifestyle habits as well.
I love it. So how long have you been practicing this way?
So it's been on and off for probably 5 years. It's really interesting. I actually did it for 2 years straight. I was a director at a salon that actually introduced me to all of these products.
You were director, I'm sorry, kind of the lifestyle. Got cut out. You were director where?
At another salon that introduced me to all of these things.
Cool.
Yes. So I did that for 2 years and then unfortunately the space closed and I had to move into a more traditional environment, which I was there for about 9 months and then I had a huge health crisis. So now it has been about a year and a half of being purely my own boss and working only with the companies that I love.
Wow. How wonderful for you to be able to make that transition. Was it a difficult transition?
It was definitely challenging. I think dealing with the health issues on top of a major life change and possibly a career change was very stressful. Yeah. But there's a freedom in it that I think is a really important thing to acknowledge because I hit rock bottom a little bit. And at that point, there's nowhere to go but up. And so I had no options, but I had every option, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Think that, you know, sometimes we have to get pushed into those kinds of situations to really advocate for ourselves, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as you have come to understand what you need for yourself, has that allowed you to attract a different type of clientele? And how were the clients that you had accumulated beforehand reacting to it all?
Yeah, it's really been incredible. And I think it just shows the power of our energy. Mm. So I know a lot of people talk about Instagram and how it's changed our industry. I had been running my Instagram account for probably 2 years before I switched over to being self-employed. And I didn't announce anything on Instagram. I just continued to post the content that I was passionate about. And I had never received any clients straight through Instagram before switching. And within the first week of me being an independent stylist, I got two messages strictly from Instagram. So the energy that I was putting out there was different. My clients that I had before obviously had seen the struggles that I had with health. And so I don't think that I really lost anyone. I never had a negative reaction. I think there were more questions about making sure that the products I were using were professional. But I've had an amazing response. And now I've found an incredible community, including yourself, that believes what I believe in. And so it's been absolutely amazing. And I'm so grateful. And it really is the silver lining with illness is I think it brought out the authenticity and what I really wanted to do. And it kind of pushed me in the direction that I probably would have gone in anyways, but sooner.
Right. Well, and it's always an amazing thing to have the insight, you know, into a situation and see it as an opportunity rather than, you know, a detrimental experience that didn't have an experience of expansion for you.
Exactly.
That's incredible. So when you started having these kinds of conversations with your clients, how do you approach someone, you know, who might be a little bit more conservative or that you, you know, because we make assumptions about people and we think that they're not going to be open to something or that they won't care or want to maybe, you know, spend extra money on something that's more, that's better for them.
I think that I try and just stay really light with it. It's mm-hmm. something that I have, it's bogged me down a little bit occasionally because obviously I get quite a bit of pushback from our industry right. and a lot of questions from stylists and they don't really understand it. And I think it makes sense. I definitely have compassion for them because unless you are in that world and have those experiences, then it is different. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. So right. I try and educate people as much as possible. I'm incredibly passionate about that. I also don't think that it is for everyone.
Right.
I am a very sensitive person, and I know there are a lot of people like me, but there are some people that it's just not their priority, and that's okay. I'm not for everyone.
Right, right.
But I think that the important thing is that people know that there's an option out there, and they can choose whether they take it or not.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it is definitely, I wish that there was more of an understanding of how it is affecting us and maybe not so much the client, you know, we're exposed mm-hmm. to it. So at such a greater length of time than the client is, you know, if you think about the chemical services or you think about the products and that we're, you know, elbow deep in it all day long.
Yeah.
You know, what was some of the first things that you started to kind of discard and replace with healthier options?
I think that it all kind of, it's always a little bit in transition because I'll find a company and work with them for a while. And then I'm always looking for new things. Mm. And so then I'll find another company that I'm really excited about. And I basically look at, obviously, are they professional? What are the ingredients and how conscious is the company? And that's inclusivity and sustainability and all that stuff. So I feel like the first thing was probably like shampoo and conditioner for me. And then styling, color is a tough one. There are better lines out there. They're not perfect. They still have chemicals. So I feel like that's a little bit of an ongoing struggle for me.
Right.
But it's one thing at a time. And I also think that with the people that are maybe a little bit wary of it, then you have to be gentle with them too, right?
Totally.
You have to ease people into things. And it's also you have to learn how to use a different kind of product. So
right.
I can get amazing results with more natural products, but maybe I don't work in the exact same way as I used to with the traditional lines.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I mean, how do you work through the times when you feel discouraged or, you know, that you feel like you're kind of at a dead end on something and just the patience that it takes to get to the other side where you feel comfortable, confident, and supported?
Yeah, that is a real challenge.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm still learning. I think that I'm trying to step back a little bit sometimes and I'm realizing how important taking time for myself is.
Right.
But I would say that I don't have a definite answer because I try and stick around my people as much as possible. And so I'll talk to people that have the same belief system that I have. Mm-hmm. When I'm kind of feeling discouraged. And sometimes I've just left it. I've learned to, if I have to work too hard, it's not meant for me or it's not meant for me right now.
Right. I can't wait to know. Right? Totally.
Yeah. I want to work with people that want to work with me.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's becoming more and more clear. And there's a lot of opportunity in many different areas. So, you know, it's okay.
No, there's so much more opportunity now and so much
information. It's amazing. I feel so supported, and I definitely feel like there is the right time for everything. And it's now. I mean, you know, I'm mm-hmm. constantly talking about, you know, when, if not now, when.
And yeah.
I think it's a really incredible time. It's just, it's definitely, it's a scary time, and there's a lot that's changing
yeah.
and doesn't look like it's changing in the right directions that we might want it to. But I feel like there's an opening and people are awakening in a lot of ways. And there's the connection that people are starting to make with health and well-being and their outer body, you know, that there is so many different things that contribute to how we're, you know, how we look and how we're capable of carrying ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk to people, you know, if they've started a regime of your suggestion with hair care products and they're not getting the results that they want, do you then feel like you have the relationship with them where you could start to talk about nutrition or talk about, you know, what their lifestyle is like? Do you step into that role a little bit, or do you feel, you know, that that's not your place?
Yeah, I love that area. I am careful in that I have not done any schooling for nutrition. I'm certainly not a medical doctor. Right. So at this point, I kind of, there are some things that I can recommend. There's some research that I've done, and I'm passionate about it. And so I will say, you know, well, you can try this and this, but I do recommend you see either, you know, a doctor for blood tests. There's a lot of people that are coming in with hair loss. Mm-hmm. And that is a really complex issue.
Did you say
that
thyroid test?
Blood test.
Okay.
So thyroid, yeah, definitely one of them. Iron levels are really important. Stress, cortisol
right,
levels.
Right.
But I do cross the line a little bit into the nutrition area. Because I think that there's some really easy key things that people could change that make a big
totally.
Difference. Yeah. And it's the building block of everything. You know, we put all this stuff on our face, we put all this stuff on our hair, but if you're not doing the internal work, then the hair growing out of your head is not going to be happy.
I lost you, Diana.
Oh,
can you go? We put all this stuff on our hair. We put all this stuff on our.
Oops.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? I can hear you now.
Okay.
Let me just change positions here.
Okay. Can you go back and say what you were saying about we put all this stuff on our face, we put all this stuff on our hair?
Yeah. So, we have all these fancy creams and hairsprays and fancy shampoos, but unless you are feeding yourself internally, the hair growing out of your head is not going to be happy. Your skin is not going to be happy. So it's that relationship that I'm really interested in.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had my own health journey. And I just tend to, you know, share my experiences, so that I make it about me and not about them. And this is what works for me, but
yeah.
I definitely, you know, I like being an advocate for, you know, for the awareness alone, just for the questions, you know, and them constantly, you know, like you said, learning more and wanting to gain more insight into all of these things. How is your practice seen in the salon that you work in right now? It's because you're currently booth.
Yes, that's right.
And the people that you work with, you know, I'm sure they overhear your conversations with your clients and are aware of the products that you use. Do you, you know, influence with them, and what do they think about it all?
Yeah, I think that, like most people in the industry, they kind of are interested in it a little bit. They're kind of intrigued. But again, like most of the people in the industry, I think they're very attached to the companies that they are used to working
mm-hmm.
with. So I've been able to make a couple changes in the salon that I'm in. We have like Green Circle Salons, the recycling program,
Great.
Of course. That was the,
Yay.
one of the first things that I that I asked them to bring in. And I think that they're more conscious of things. They're not quite to the point where they're ready to, you know, switch over. But it's kind of neat because, you know, whenever they hear of something that's a bit more natural or like a new color line, then they'll come to me and say, Diana, have you heard of this?
That's great.
This is really cool. And so it's really sweet that they're, you know, they're getting there.
Yeah.
They're really getting there. And it's certainly, it's a challenge, especially when I think until we get to a crisis mode, we generally, it's a lot tougher to make a switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely, I think just a human nature, you know, that it's hard to make changes. And I know for myself, learning a new color line is not my favorite thing to do.
No, it's like one of the most terrifying things, I think, for a colorist. Yeah.
Well, and you know, who are you going to experiment on? You know, you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
But I know for myself, I love being able to say to my client, you know, I have this amazing biodynamic organic bleach that I get to use on you. You know, it might still be bleach, but it's biodynamic and it's organic, you know?
Right? And it's not tested on animals.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So key. And, you know, there's just, like you said, there's the consciousness of the companies that you support to me is understanding the connectivity of all of the things that we're doing. Everything has energy. So tell me a little bit about your journey into understanding the you know, the service beyond the service, beyond the obvious of what you do for your clients when it comes to being the advocate and the support system, all the emotional and spiritual work that goes into an appointment with us. How did you figure that one out? And when did it occur to you to start being in the chair because of it?
Mm-hmm. I think the first time that I realized the importance of it was when I was actually, I had a client whose mother found out kind of late that she had esophagus cancer. Mm. And so I was asked to, if I would shave her head as she was going through chemo.
Yeah.
And it was an incredibly profound experience, that I will never, ever forget. And I stayed, you know, late at the salon. So there was no one else there and it was just the three of us. And it changed the way that I look at our relationship with hair. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's no longer a vanity thing. It's the way that you represent yourself and you show yourself, like what is on the inside is then represented to others on the outside. And it's incredibly important. And I mean, from there've been a lot of experiences. I've done a lot of work in homeless shelters, and homeless programs, giving haircuts because I mean, it's so important for people to have food and shelter and all of the basic needs, but it's also important for them to feel like a human. And just getting a hot meal doesn't do that necessarily.
Right.
And so it's been fantastic for perspective because to go in and to be able to provide a service to these people that are just so grateful. They're so grateful that just someone thought to do that. They don't even care how fancy the haircut is. Like they're just excited that you're there. And so I think that's been really great as well.
Oh, that's incredible. And, you know, I know, majority of the hairdressers that I've spoken to over the years have a deep understanding of this innate desire to serve people. Mm-hmm. It's an underlying drive, you know, to get us into this business is helping people to feel good about themselves. And yet there's no education about the emotional component of that in our beauty schools. And we're left with this, you know, I feel like I'm such a codependent when it comes to my clients, you know, I feel bad, but I, I have such a desire to please them. I have such a desire to support them, to be there for them. You know, you can't not have these intimate relationships with the people that you're working with. And yet there's no education about that part of our work.
No, absolutely. And you're also, you're touching someone physically. Right. We don't do that as much in our culture today. And so that is another level of connection.
Of course,
right?
Yes. Well, the energy exchange, I mean, I'm so grateful that it's not hippy-dippy anymore to talk about it, you know. But when I went to beauty school, you know, 20-plus years ago, you know, it was very, it's the same exactly as it is now. It's just the same rudimentary basics to get you to pass the state board. And there's no real understanding of the energy that is exchanged, the touch. And at least now we have social media so that we can connect with each other and talk about these things. And people are getting a deeper view of what is really going on. You know, that there's so much more to the haircut than just the haircut, and so much more to the relationships, and that we're being called to be of more service to our communities.
Absolutely. It's so funny because when I went to hair school, they, and still I've seen it probably up until the last couple of years, which maybe I've just tuned these people out, but a lot of people said, you know, don't talk to your clients about personal stuff. Make sure you're talking to them about hair the entire time. You are not their friend. You are their stylist. Like, it's all kind of this like sales driven stuff. You, like, I'm sure you're the same way. You should hear the stuff that I talk about with my
clients. My God. Well, that's what I'm trying to connect, you know, these people that I'm working with.
Right?
I want them to understand. Do you understand that you have the golden touch? They are going to tell you things that they won't tell anybody else.
Absolutely.
It's like your touch is a truth serum, you know? And we don't get prepared for that. So then we take it all on and we feel this responsibility. And that's why, you know, I feel like burnout is such a huge part of our industry, unfortunately, because the anxiety and the stress that goes along with being responsible, not only for someone's transforming that vanity into beauty, but then again, here we go into the emotional component and the energy exchange.
Completely.
So do you think that education is part of your future, or do you feel like in salon education is something that you want to do more of or are going to do more of?
Yes, I would love to. There's a couple projects coming up hopefully in the new year that I'll be doing some workshops.
Oh, cool.
Yes, I'm easing my way into it because there's a lot happening, and so basically I've started writing more. So I've done some guest blog work, and even just speaking with you right now, you know, I'm just trying to get the word out there as I can. And it's great to connect with people. I don't love doing blog and content creation that way because I don't get to see someone face to face or hear their voice.
Right.
So where I feel the most excited is to actually be around people. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm also hopefully going to launch a consulting part of my business that is helpful to, like, it's targeted towards salon owners to help them kind of ease through the challenges of transitioning their salon into more of a green beauty space.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
because it can seem really overwhelming. I know. I have such a desire for people to really grasp, you know, not only what they're asking their clients to put all over their heads, but what they're flushing down the sink as well. And, you know, that these, I don't want to talk poorly about these larger corporations, but at the same time, they really, I think, lose connection sometimes to what is important. You know, giving a salon owner a deal on, you know, all of these products and percentages and, you know, commissions. And it steers them in a direction where they are only thinking about the money and the profit of, you know, the stylist as well. Yeah. But if they can't look at the ingredients and see beyond, you know, what they're influencing their people to put on themselves. I'm like, oh, you're asking your client to put plastic all over their hair. Don't you understand?
I know.
And the perfume alone, you know, the toxicity in the air just alone. Oh. It makes me, it makes me kind of batty, but it's, and it's hard, you know, again, like it's asking someone to learn a whole new color line. It's asking someone to not have that guarantee of that shiny, perfect blow dry, you know, every single time. I get it. But at the same time, like how, you know, how can we, is it changing, you know, the way they look at things? Is it just giving them a peek and then a little bit more and more?
Yeah. And I think I don't like to be negative either, but the amount of misinformation that is out there, that of course is motivated by money, I'm going to say, it makes me incredibly frustrated and it makes me angry because a lot of people, and a ton of people in our industry, which then trickles into the consumer, obviously. But I think the main thing is the big companies are controlling the narrative. And I've heard so many things that are just complete falsehoods. You know, you can't get great coverage with organic color.
Right.
I mean, you can't get healthier hair or slippery hair without silicones. Like, just all of these things. And it drives me absolutely crazy. And I've had people come into my chair and say, you know, I loved my old hairstylist, but I was so allergic to her color and she just would not try anything else. And she said that the organic color didn't work.
Right.
And I, that client literally said, I pulled up your Instagram and I showed it to her. And I said, well, this person's doing it. And I was like, I want to hug you so hard right now. Because that's, I think that is where it's going to come from. People need to see proof, right?
Right.
And so I am obviously a very small fish at this point, but my goal is to change the industry. And I think that our voices are getting louder.
Yes.
And when that happens, just in the last week, I've connected with multiple stylists that deal with multiple chemical sensitivity, like myself. And it has been so inspiring to me, and I'm already, you know, talking quite a bit about it to people, but I'm going to talk more about it. And I've held back a little bit because I don't want to complain. I don't want it to come off as me saying poor me and all this stuff, because absolutely not. But just hearing more of those voices means that we're taking a bite out of the conversation, you know?
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that, you know, if you can first be an example, be an advocate, and then be able to give them, you know, real life experience and that you've had success, you know, that's that whole thing of like, the vibe attracts your tribe, or, you know, the presence is, you know, the power's in your presence, that you're being authentic to yourself, you're taking care of yourself, you're supporting the things in your life that need to be supported, and therefore life is supporting you back. I think that's the scariest part about making the changes, is that we're afraid that we're not going to be okay. We're not going to be successful, or we're going to somehow, you know, not be as busy, or, you know, ad infinitum, all of the fears that come up.
Oh my gosh. And let me just dispel this myth right now, because being a holistic stylist or using cleaner products will make you busier.
Yeah.
That's not an opinion to me. That is a fact. Of course, it depends on where you are working and your community. But there are so few stylists out there that in hair school, we always learned, well, you have to learn how to set yourself apart. How do you make yourself different from the salon down the street? Well, if you're using more natural products and people aren't smelling ammonia, their scalp isn't burning, their nose isn't burning, you are setting yourself apart and you're also protecting your health, and you will earn more money. So that's not why I do it, but it's funny to me, even from a business standpoint, it's a smart decision.
Yeah, for sure. And I think in this day and age, again, like the times are supporting it. So if you were to say to someone who is currently using Kerastase, what they might be able to use that would be, you know, efficient in results as far as styling products are concerned. What would you recommend they replace it with?
Like a specific line?
Like Kérastase, or, I mean, like, you know, Innersense or Owe or OM, yeah, or, you know, if, yes, maybe a specific line, or, you know, is there a specific common ingredient that is in majority of the lines out there that is potentially toxic to the stylist and the client?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had this conversation recently because I've been asked to write more about the ingredients to avoid. And in all honesty, I feel like the list is getting too long.
Right?
Yeah. Like the blog post would be a novel. So what I'm doing at this point is now I have three favorite lines for like shampoo, conditioner, and styling. They all kind of support each other in different ways. And I generally, I pick from those. I'm always looking for new products. I find there's a lot out there that are natural, but they don't have that professional efficacy, which is incredibly important to me. And so, yeah, depending on, I think there's so many comparable things to, like, for instance, Kérastase. I love Innersense. I've been using it since the spring. And I would say that I think part of it is also managing the expectation, especially with someone like we talked about before, that's a bit more conservative and maybe a little bit, you know, checking it out, but they're not really sure. And so educating them on what exactly the products are doing to their hair. So
right.
Traditionally, it's coating it and it's giving you the feeling of soft hair, but it's not feeding it. Whereas a line like Innersense, it has, you know, sunflower oil and shea butter and coconut, and there's no sulfates and things like that, that are actually going to feed your hair. So there is a bit of a transition process and it's going to feel different. You know, I don't promise that your hair is going to stay exactly the same. Maybe you, add in a little bit more of a leave-in, like an oil on its own, and maybe you start treating it a little bit differently, you know, but you're still going to have beautiful hair.
Right. And consistently more beautiful hair.
Exactly. Oh, and I've heard from people that their hair frizzes less on humid days. And it's because you've actually nourished the hair properly. Right. Yeah. Instead of just covering a symptom.
Oh, that speaks so much of the nutritional piece as well.
Completely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I'd love to just kind of inquire a little bit about your personal journey, you know, with feeling maybe isolated or out, you know, on a branch, not feeling like you're part of something when you discover you're a little bit different, you know, in your journey. Emotionally, how have you supported yourself in making these changes and getting through some of the harder times?
Mm-hmm. I think at first I was really in survival mode. And so I didn't really care what, you know, where I was compared to other people. I was surviving. Right. And it's actually been kind of a realization recently that, the last year, not this year, but 2017 was really hard personally for me as well. And the year before that was health stuff. And so this year I've still been in that like hustle mode, and adrenaline. I think we just run on adrenaline. And so actually just this fall, I was in California, which was amazing. And I came back and I felt so inspired. And then I crashed for a good 3 weeks.
Wow.
And it was deep transition for me. I questioned everything. I questioned where I was living, if I was in the right career, if I was going in the right direction, if my beliefs were supporting me. And I think what I've come to is that I'm not surviving anymore. I am really thriving, and I don't really know what to do with myself. which is, I'm not complaining at all.
Wait, oh, you cut out.
But it's a weird.
You cut out, darn it.
Oh, no.
What was that? You're surviving, you're not surviving, you're thriving. And then what was that?
I'm not surviving, I'm thriving. And it's a such a blessing, but it's also such a weird space for me to work from. I'm not used to it.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's difficult when you feel like you're the black sheep of the industry. I'm a little bit attached to the, well, I'm quite attached to the wellness community, but I'm not a holistic nutritionist.
Right.
I'm still a hairstylist, but I don't really feel at home in that industry. And so I think that what I've done is try and support myself and not really feel the need to seek validation from anyone
right,
else.
Right.
Have really just myself. I started, I haven't done crafts since I was probably, gosh, 13.
Okay.
And I used to love that. I was a really creative kid and I grew up in a really creative home. And I have recently started doing macrame.
Oh, how fun.
And it's so incredibly therapeutic. And I think that kind of getting out of your head and getting out of your business is so lovely. And it means that I don't have to think about, you know, how I'm comparing to others or do people believe me in these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have incredible clients and I hesitate to even call them clients because they're friends. And I've just built this lovely group that cheers me on. And, you know, sometimes like if I'm awake at night, then I'll send a couple emails or I'll be staying up late and catching up and I'll actually have clients email me back and say, Diana, why are you up at 2 a.m.? And I'm like, oh, I so appreciate you because I need to be called on that stuff.
That's so funny.
You know,
yeah.
And so they do really keep me in check. I'm incredibly grateful for them. Because they're very inspiring and they're the reason that I do what I do and I'm going to keep going.
Well, I think it's just so important that we how valuable we are to our community and how valuable they are to, you know, our relationship, how valuable the relationship is, but also in a sense of like, there's no way it's not going to be personal. So take responsibility for that relationship. And it's not like you have to fix everything or be everything to them, but to really deeply acknowledge that there's no way you're not going to have these deep connections with people.
And that's the incredible thing, I think, about our industry. And it's also a power that we have in that there's not many people. I mean, as an industry, we probably are in contact with 90% of the population. How massive is that?
Yeah.
Think about that. You know what I mean? Like most of the people that you know go and see someone.
Right.
And so I think we have huge power.
Yeah, that's, I mean, my hope is that we really step into that power and take responsibility for that role. Because it's a really beneficial role to both of us. You know, the richness of my life and the relationships that I have with these people. I mean, 20 years I've been doing hair.
Amazing.
And you know, I've lost people and I've had, you know, opportunities to step in and do, you know, that same service to someone who's going through cancer opportunities and you know, you can't not feel intertwined and have a special relationship with people when you walk through that kind of life with them. And so how do I honor that relationship, you know, and so much of what I talk about, it's like, yeah, I want you to meditate and I want you to take care of yourself, but I also want you to step into the real power of the role that you have behind the chair with your people.
Absolutely.
It's just such an incredible position to be in when you really look, you know, at all of it. All the meanings, the deeper meanings of it.
Oh my gosh. It's incredible.
So what's on the horizon for you when you look forward and into your your next level, leveling up now that you're feeling a little bit, you know, more supported by your life and not in that surviving next?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is the education. I want to reach more people. Mm-hmm. I want to connect with more people. I want to build a community. I'd love to see more people around my area in Toronto. I think California is really doing a great job. And there's already multiple salons where I was in mm-hmm. San Francisco. But I really want to put a push on spreading the word and being a resource for people, you know, to ask questions. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
And do you see us hybridizing in a sense, like as healers and holistic hairdressers, you know, as far as how we serve our communities? I mean, I always think about how many different things we can incorporate into our work. I mean, from energy work to, you know, the type of healing that you're doing through the products and product knowledge and awareness. Do you see any other things that we can add to our repertoire?
I think it's a little bit endless.
Yeah.
You know, what I really try and do is include everything. And I think that's always, I always have new ideas on things I want to do. This summer I added aromatherapy mm-hmm. into my bridal sessions. Good. And yeah, you know, I think that in every industry, there's more awareness on this stuff. And it, like you said before, it's more acceptable to talk about energy yeah. and all of those things and crystals. And so I think that we're going to notice that more and more. And I also think as clients see it happening or people talk, right. you know, my hairstylist does this, then they will ask more questions of their hairstylist. And then it just opens everything up. I think totally. The consumer has a lot of power. Yes. And we're noticing them demanding more things. I mean, not even with the experience, but also with sustainability, with, you know, social justice, everything. They want to work with companies and to give their money to people mm-hmm. that believe in the same things they believe in, which I think is such a wonderful thing.
Well, it's...
And yeah, so I think that the more there's... Yeah. Yeah.
So how do people find you?
So I have my Instagram page, which is at Holistic Hair Expert. If you search Diana Osborne, I come up as well. And I have my website at www.dianaosborne.ca. And email is also awesome too. I love when people reach out and want to connect about anything. Yeah. So my email is hello@dianaosborne.ca.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you enough for sharing time and space and for what you're doing. I mean, it's so needed now. And you need to come to America more.
It's part of my goals, actually, is travel for work. So you will be seeing me at some point. We will absolutely connect.
Love that.
And I just want to say thank you so much for doing this and for spreading the word. And I think that you're such a wonderful soul.
Thank you.
And I'm so, so happy that we connected.
Me too. I definitely just see you bright and shining over there and definitely very attracted and aligned with you. And who else do you think would be a good fit for the podcast? Like, who are you watching and admiring? And
oh, who are you talking such a great Instagram? Question. Well, I really connected with Jane Matthews at Edo Salon.
Yes.
She's working in Oakland. I'm sure you guys have connected.
She's amazing.
Oh my gosh, she's doing incredible things for our industry, and she has such a platform and is so, so authentic and just shows up no matter what state she is in. And yeah, she's incredibly inspiring, and I think she is one of the people that will change my life. And then I talked to Nicole recently, from Truth, Beauty, and Goodness, awesome. Of course. whom
she's going to be on the podcast as well. Next month.
Yay! Oh, I can't wait.
We do.
And then the other one, I wish I knew her name, but I mean, it's kind of a collective in San Francisco. It's called Wabi Sabi Beauty.
Oh, okay.
They're doing such cool things. Just the whole concept of their salon, I would say, is really, really cool. And so I have been keeping my eye on them.
All right. I will check them out.
Yeah.
So fun. Social media is a blessing and a curse, but I cannot imagine what my life would be like right now if I hadn't found you and Nicole and Andy Scarborough and all these amazing, you know, Kelly Mason, everybody at, you know, this heightened space of awareness that we get to connect. It just feels really special.
It's incredible. And I think there's definitely downsides of social media, but I think that for me, the positives outweigh the negatives.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't have the connections that I have, I would feel so incredibly isolated.
Totally.
I would feel I already feel like a salmon swimming upstream, but it would feel like a monsoon was coming the other way, I feel like, without the connection. So I think it's important to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
There is a lot of good in that.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, I love Andy Scarborough talks about, you know, being whales out in the ocean, and we just kind of send each other little pings, you know, and I'm here. You may not be able to see me or feel me, but I'm here.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah, me too. Well, again, I feel honored and grateful, and I hope that we do meet in person and I get to wrap my arms around you and give you a big squeeze. And I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your evening where you are.
Thank you so much. And we will. We will meet one day.
Come to California. It's warm and sunny here.
Oh my gosh. You have no idea. I'm trying every excuse to get back to California.
Good.
You have an amazing community out there.
Thank you. I think so too.
Yeah.
Maybe I can wrangle you one of these days to come out so we can do some education together.
Oh, I would
so be in. The dream team, you, me, Nicole, Andy, we'll put together a big class.
Oh my gosh, I would have died and gone to heaven.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Let's do it.
All right, sweetheart. Have a great night, and I will talk to you soon.
Amazing. Sounds good. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Again, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation with Diana Osborne. If you would like to find her on Instagram, Holistic Hair Expert, and her website is dianaosborne.ca. If you didn't catch that in the interview. And if you have any questions about burnout and the beauty expert and the symptoms of burnout, please don't hesitate to reach out, india@indiadunn.com. I would be happy to have a conversation with you and answer any questions that you might have. And don't forget to leave a review if you have time and leave me a few stars. Have a great rest of your day.